The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's back tonight. The NCAA tournament continuing. It is the Sweet 16. Four games in action. I've been telling you this week, I know there isn't a Cinderella, right? You can call Oregon that, I guess. But, you know, Oregon's out of the Pac-12. We know where Oregon is on a map. We know they're the Ducks, right? We know a lot about their team. What you're missing is that school that you can't find, that you don't know, that you can't even figure out what conference they're in. We don't have that. We've got a 1-4, a 3-2, a 3-2, and a 1-12 today. If you look ahead to Friday, another 3-2, a 5-1 in Auburn and North Carolina, another 4-1, and another 3-2. So this is a chalk-heavy tournament, as you know this week. Don't give up and say, oh, it's missing a story. I know this is where the real basketball fans will tune in, all right? This is what happens in the tournament. Everybody watches, and then it weeds down to the diehard college basketball fans. But this is going to be good basketball. Purdue-Tennessee on my radar because Tennessee, a team that is, with Rick Barnes, have been building to this moment. Good guards, good senior guards have been building to a season like this. But Purdue, outstanding three-point shooting team. Carson Edwards is one of the most exciting guys in the tournament. 42 points against Villanova. He knocked down 9 three-pointers. Purdue is an excellent three-point shooting team. That's one of the great equalizers. But we're not talking about equalizers and upsets here. Purdue is very, very capable of beating Tennessee, as is just about any matchup that you'll find so far. Maybe the Oregon-Virginia game will probably go the Cavaliers' way. I don't know if Oregon can really beat a Tony Bennett defense if it's firing, but I've seen Virginia fail before, including last season, so I'm not sure. But Michigan-Texas Tech, you want to talk about two defensive oriented teams, that might be the boringest game of the night if you are interested in offense. That might be the slugfest that you get where it's like, oh God, is it really 47-48 with a minute left to go in the game? That's the kind of game you might get. Both of those teams outstanding defensively. But don't sleep on Florida State. Gonzaga is the one seed out of the West. Don't sleep on the Seminoles. I've been touting them this tournament. I'm going to ride them all the way through. So don't sleep on the Noles. But coming up next, is there a team left in the Sweet 16 that really needs to win this thing? I've got a few ideas, and I'll bring it up next on SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM. It is Throwback Thursday, as you heard the man say. And we are celebrating the Rocky anniversary, as Rocky won Best Picture on this date in 1977, right?
Yes.
That's right. Rocky is one of the best sports movies of all time. But it's not really a sports movie from what Sylvester Stallone has always talked about. It's a love story. The story is supposed to be mostly about him and Adrian and not the fighting, but I always remember it about the fighting. But that last scene when he's all beat up and he's just screaming for Adrian and she's at the ring and she's like, Paulie, and he lifts it up so she could get underneath and everyone's just like losing their minds and everyone's freaking out because the fight went the distance and whatnot. So it's a really, I always get goosebumps when I see that one. It's more than the Rocky II one where he, you know, Adrian's in the hospital with the baby. I mean, the one where she just kind of comes in, he's all battered and bruised. Good, good movie, boy. But don't you think Rocky Balboa, though, transitioned into, like, it's he's not even the same person by the time we get to Rocky IV?
Yeah.
Like, but when we get to Rocky IV where he's fighting the Russians, it's like not even the same guy. Because the guy we saw in Rocky was kind of a down-and-out collector for a local loan shark, and he's, you know.
Well, you know, you saw that transition in 3.
Yeah, in 3, he's like sharp and cut. He's looking decent.
But no, but at the beginning of the movie.
Not slurring his words.
At the beginning movie, you know, he was, fights were being rigged towards his favor.
Yeah.
And he didn't know it.
Right.
So he thought he was this incredible person, goes ahead and does a charity wrestling match with Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, exactly.
Thunder Lips.
That's right. Thunder Lips. Yeah. So
it is funny because, yeah, you say, I mean, Rocky wasn't a boxing movie, but it is. But then all the movies after that transitioned to being a boxing movie.
Exactly, exactly. But it's a real good work of art. I mean, it's a real good piece.
Where do we stop?
With Rocky?
With Rocky, yeah. Do we count Rocky V or Rocky Balboa?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good question. It doesn't bleed into Creed, does it? It doesn't bleed into the Creed franchise, does it?
Yeah, but Rocky IV does.
No, I mean, do we consider the Creed franchise part of the Rocky franchise?
Oh, I think we have to.
So if we do that, then yeah, I guess we could consider all of them, even though they're
do we?
Most
I mean,
of those
it's
kind of
like The Godfather. Do we really ever consider Godfather 3 part of the series?
We do, but we don't. It's a terrible movie, but we do because he dies at the end, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he just passes away as an old man. So, but yeah, I agree with you. I thought those. I went to go see Rocky Balboa. I didn't mind that movie as much. I thought it was it wasn't a good movie whatsoever. It was not a good movie, but at least I thought it was. It seemed like it was fun. It seemed like it was a light. You know, it was kind of light a little bit more for Rocky. But 4 was crazy. Like 4 was ridiculous. Like you look back on it now, but I soaked all that in, man. It was 84, 85 when that thing came out.
Did it? Was it?
I soaked all that in.
It wasn't that late.
Oh, yeah. Take a look.
That early.
Was it?
Nah, it came out.
86, 87?
Let's see.
Because Rocky 3 was early 80s, like 82, 81, 82, maybe 83.
85.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I thought it was much later than that.
I remember seeing it in the theaters with my friends, and we didn't have our driver's licenses. We were kids. So I remember it was like, I must have been when I was a young lad. Because I remember going to see that, and I just soaked that all up. Are you kidding? We hated the Russians, right? We had to go. Remember he was in Siberia, and he was running through the snow?
That's one of the best training montages
exactly.
ever, Tony. Don't disrespect it.
Dolph Lundgren is punching things with like the power to kill a man, and Rocky's like chopping wood. And then Adrian shows up, and it's like, she's like, back. Yeah, and she's like, you know what would be really good, Rocky? If you like fold laundry and like do the dishes, that would help out. And it's like, oh, okay. And he's doing household chores while he's working out.
See, that's why I was never a fan of Rocky V because they went too down and luck.
I know.
Like, oh, come on.
Yeah, I know.
He didn't fall that far from grace.
I know. It was really depressing. Like, Rocky V was depressing. Like, ugh. This guy just won the Cold War, for crying out loud. What's he walking around the streets of Philadelphia down and out for? Yeah. He would be heralded for the rest of his life.
Never showed him at a pawn shop pawning his Medal of Freedom?
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't Hollywood know that in America you can make a decent living just walking around giving speeches? If you did something like that in the '80s, think about the boys from the hockey team, the USA hockey team. They have made a living doing that.
Yeah.
They've written books. Their whole life is that one moment of winning. They've all done other things. I mean, I think Jim Craig became an investment banker or something like that, and Mike Ruzioni did some other stuff. But
you find
they make
out
a decent living.
Miracle.
Yeah, they did
they did. They made a decent living off that one moment in sports history. If Rocky IV was a real thing, like if they had a real Russian guy that killed one of our favorite boxers, and then we avenged that on Christmas, no less, in Moscow, he'd never work again. He'd never, ever buy a meal again forever.
Ever.
He'd never be down on his luck, like people didn't want anything to do with him. Are you kidding me? God, Hollywood, stop. You know better than that. Make a decent living doing that thing. So, celebrating Rocky. Good movie. Good series. Good movie. All right, so I was thinking about this as we headed into the Final Four. Is there a team that has to win this thing? Is there a team that has to win? Not has to. I shouldn't say that because you don't really have to win. But is there a team that kind of really needs to win, right? Just kind of would really help if they won. And I started thinking some of the teams and their fan bases. And you can lump this however you want, whether it's a coach, whether it's players, whether it's a school in particular, or whether it's just the fan base because they're tired of losing, whatever it is. Or it can be a conference. And I came up with a couple, right? The first one that came to mind was, in terms of a team that really needs to win, is Duke, but more specifically Zion Williamson. Does he need to win the NCAA tournament? I say the answer is no. I don't think a player needs to win in college. You know, Anthony Davis did win in college, but, you know, it didn't help or hurt Anthony Davis going into the NBA. I don't think Zion needs this. It'll be nice, but I don't think he needs it. I don't think Duke needs this. I mean, Duke recently just won a championship not that long ago. What about Michigan? Now, Michigan in the sports world, right? A 10-year gap, a 5-year, 6-year gap. It feels relatively close. Michigan has two championship losses since 2013. The Louisville in 2013, where Louisville ended up having to vacate that, but also last year against Villanova. So maybe John Beilein would like to get a championship after coming twice and failing at the big stage, the big game. But a school I think could really need a victory in this tournament, a school that I think really needs one, is Gonzaga. Now, remember, 20 years ago, Gonzaga was the Cinderella darling of the tournament. They were a 10 seed. They made it to the Elite Eight. But we were all Googling Gonzaga when we finally got Google. And then we were all wondering where the school was and what the school had and how many people went, right? It was kind of a thing where we didn't know this school. And then they started becoming a regular presence in the tournament. And the first couple of years that they were a regular presence in the tournament, they were still kind of labeled a Cinderella because of the size of the school. But then after a while, they made this transition. And this transition was, they're not a Cinderella anymore. They're an actual power. Like, they've been recruiting really well. They keep bringing in players. Those players continue to do well. The tournament, continues to seed them higher and higher and higher. And eventually they started getting number one seeds. And now they're one of the top programs in the country. And we expect them to make deep runs into the NCAA tournament. Gone are the days of Cinderella. But Gonzaga's never gotten over the hump. Gonzaga's never won the title, never won a national championship. Got close, lost in 2017, but has never won. So the question that I'm wondering is, what about Gonzaga? Like, could Gonzaga is going to have more chances, but how about Gonzaga? Because for 20 years they've gone from Cinderella to blue blood, and now they have yet to win a title. I also put down any SEC school, especially Kentucky. Because I've got this theory that the SEC is on the verge of an explosion in college basketball. It's going to take a while, but you're going to see this school pop up see this conference pop up as a real power in college basketball. But especially Kentucky. All right, Kentucky always needs a win every now and then. They want to keep it flowing. They haven't won one since 2012. Have had really good teams come through, players come through there. Have yet to win with those guys. One and dones keep turning out in Lexington. John Calipari's probably feeling a little heat because in Kentucky, a gap is a gap is a gap. But the SEC in particular, I mean, they would love to win a national title with a school other than Kentucky, like a Tennessee or maybe an LSU. There are four teams left in the Sweet 16. 25% of the Sweet 16 is SEC schools. Now, five ACC schools are in the Sweet 16, but that's not a surprise. The ACC is outstanding. They're excellent. The SEC has not been excellent, has not really produced high quality teams in outside of Kentucky and when Florida was pretty good. I mean, Mississippi State flirts with it a little bit. I know Arkansas won a title 25 years ago, but the SEC as a whole, I mean, outside of Kentucky and Florida for a time under Billy Donovan, doesn't produce excellent basketball teams, hasn't produced real national championship quality teams. That's why people were a little gun shy on Tennessee. That's why they're still a little gun shy on Auburn. But if an SEC school can break through this and win, whether it's Kentucky or not, right? Whether it's LSU, whether it's Auburn, whether it's Tennessee, I think the conference really needs that, would really like that. Because again, I think they're on the verge of a boom. I think they're on a verge of a boom maybe 10 years from now, where they're going to be a premier college basketball conference en route and on rival to the ACC. I know it sounds crazy because, you know, they haven't even come close to that. I mean, it really is going from down to the bottom to the top, but I think they are. I mean, the stuff that I hear about budgets and where the money's going and where allocated funds are going to various SEC schools in terms of basketball and the effort that they're putting into basketball in terms of the SEC is making me think they're on the verge of something really, really gigantic. So those are just a couple that I put out there. Zook and Zion Williamson, probably last on the list. Michigan, well, you know, two conference champion, two tournament championship appearances and two losses over a span of, you know, 6 years probably means your fan base is dying to get a championship. Gonzaga, you want to talk about a fan base in a school that's absolutely dying for a championship. And then Kentucky or any SEC school. That's kind of on my list of teams that could really use an NCAA tournament win. But coming up next, I can't believe it's that fast. I'll tell you who and what's in trouble next on SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're celebrating the songs of 1977, the year Rocky won Best Picture.
Not the songs of 1977.
I'm sorry, I apologize. We didn't really... What are we doing?
Sports movie theme songs.
Oh, that's right. Sports movie theme songs. I apologize.
In honor of Rocky winning Best Picture in 1977.
Rocky winning Best Picture. Okay.
Because this definitely... I mean, you got to know, this wasn't in 77.
No. But I was just coming out of the break. That's what I had written down. So that's what I said. I'm like Ron Burgundy in that situation. All right? That's what I thought we were doing.
Just don't take it too far. We love San Diego.
We love San Diego. Absolutely.
So obviously, this is The Natural.
The Natural. This is Robert Redford. Was Wilford Brimley in this? Did we talk about this yesterday?
Well, you and I, off air, we were talking about it. I think he is. I think he wasn't he the manager?
I think he was the manager. I'm going to look that up because Wilford Brimley used to sell oats, right? And then he was the bad guy in The Firm.
And now isn't he Liberty Insurance or something like that? Or
that's right. He was mortgages? Pop Fisher. Yeah, that's right. Is he dead? Isn't he dead?
No, I think he's still alive.
No, he has to be dead.
No.
No, I just looked it up. He's not dead.
See,
he's 84 years old.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be dead.
Yes, he does.
He's still killing it
Can
with
I
that
Can I be
mustache.
Honest with you? Wilford Brimley is 84 years old. Okay, The Natural. Okay, here's where I'm getting at, okay? The Natural came out in 1984.
Yep.
Okay? That was 35 years ago. Okay? Wilford Brimley in that movie was 49 years old. When it was made, he was probably 48. Okay, did he look like a 48-year-old man in that movie?
Some people are blessed with age.
That's
looks,
exactly right. All right. Wilford Brimley was in Cocoon. Remember Cocoon?
Well, that explains why he's still alive.
All right. So, I mean, he was in his 40s. He looked 65. So the idea that, yes, he could be dead is not an outlandish statement by me. All right. He looked like he was 70 years old in The Natural.
Yeah, but let's not try to kill him off because, you know, I'm not trying to kill him off. We try to do that with Abe Vigoda for years.
Oh, God, finally, we do the Abe Vigoda thing too much.
And then
Abe Vigoda is dead.
Yeah, he is dead. He officially right. is dead now.
Abe Vigoda is the poster boy
for
that kind
we of can't Abe Vigoda, Wilford Brimley.
Exactly. All right. Can you believe that the AAF could be done after this weekend?
Yes.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. These people, you know what? If you ever want to start a sports league, just knock on my door. I'll be more than happy to talk you out of this. Okay, if you think like, man, you know what stinks about the NHL? They don't have razor blades on the end of their sticks. I'm going to start a new hockey league where there's razor blades on the end of their sticks. Come talk to me. If you think basketball is too boring and you think there should be a 7-point shot from half court line, come talk to me. If you think the NFL is just too politically correct and we're going to start a new football league, come talk to me. I've been down this road. I'm telling you, nobody has any money. Nobody wants to spend it. These things fall apart quickly as they got off the ground. This got an infusion of $250 million in cash, and the new owner is already saying, we could be done by this weekend. You know why? Because you'll bleed through $250 million in cash and costs, especially for a football team. My God, does anybody do any financial planning with these leagues? They come and go like so rapidly.
I think they were just throwing money out there and hoping it would stick.
I think so, too. Now, he's saying that that one of the problems is they don't have a partnership with the NFL to be a true development league. Here's what they were trying to do, okay? They were trying to get the NFL to buy the league, right? They were trying to get in the end, this is what this is. This is my analysis of this. They were trying to get the NFL to buy the league or buy interest in the league, become a development league, and the NFL money come pouring in and all. And that's probably one of the reasons he threw $250 million for this, thinking that if the NFL comes back and buys this thing, then it'll just be another, the investment of $250 million will turn into, you know, a value for him for years and years and years. And that investment will turn out to be really great. The NFL doesn't seem to be very interested in that. And my question is, does the NFL even need a development league? Development league occurs in baseball. There's one in basketball now. There's one in the NHL. And even the one in the NBA we don't really know about. Even the one in the NBA, we're not really jumping up and down about the G League, right? As we do minor league baseball and a guy coming up through the system and a guy coming up through the minors.
Some of us in this room, between me and you, might still be referring to it as the D League.
Yep, I refer to it as the D-League for a long time. I think it's only the G-League because Gatorade bought a sponsorship to it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, when this, when the AF first venture, when it first started, didn't they, weren't they touting that they weren't an NFL developmental league?
That's what they were saying, right?
I thought maybe I misheard it over the course of a couple of months.
So I don't know exactly what they were trying to do. Like, okay, here's what the majority owner says, because I want to get that. He said, quote, if the players union is not going to give us young players, we can't be a development league. We're looking at our options. One is which discontinuing the league. I think you're right. I don't think they ever promoted themselves as a development league. I think this is coming out as saying, yeah, well, we tried to do this. And because we don't do this, we're not going to make it. But I got to tell you something. I don't think being a development league into the NFL, unless the NFL is giving you money, it matters whatsoever. I don't think fans are going to turn out to watch developmental NFL players. Fans are either going to tune into this or not. Fans are going to watch you for football or not. I don't think fans are going to buy tickets and watch television because you've got some young players that are working their way to the NFL. Players who can make the NFL, play in the NFL immediately. There was no development league for Baker Mayfield. He went right into the league and played. Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, I'll list all the players you like watching. J.J. Watt. They didn't need a league like this. The people who need a league like this are players who stink and need to develop their skills to play in the National Football League. What makes minor league sports work, for the most part, is real local feel, right? It's the thing to do in the town. It's kind of cool. You go to, you know, you're in this little, this mid-market, and there's a local minor league baseball team, and it's a July day, and you go see some minor league baseball. Minor league baseball is about player development. It's not about winning games, even though they do keep score and have a standings and have a playoff. But in the end, a team is successful if they can continue to churn out their talent into the next level. Same thing with hockey. Yeah, sure. They're winning games and they're playing in a playoff. But the success of that team to the parent club is, are you moving players through? Are you, like, if you're a double A team, your job isn't to have the very best players still playing for you at the end of the season. Your job is to make sure they're out of there and onto the triple A level, right? That's what your job is. Your job is to develop players. And in the process, fans can go enjoy a baseball game. If that's what you wanted to sell us, okay, but you needed a partnership with the NFL, and clearly there isn't one. Here's the thing. Does the NFL even need one? Isn't a practice squad, doesn't that serve most of the purpose?
Well, not only that, but I almost would say college football is a developmental league.
Well,
more so than college basketball for the NBA.
You got to be careful there. That's in theory, but not practicality.
I know, because those players aren't paid.
No, it's not, because there's no direct there's no direct involvement by the NFL into how Nick Saban develops his talent. What they're looking for is direct involvement to develop your talent.
No, like
when the Colorado
Rockies
has
it,
hold on. When the Colorado Rockies talk to their AAA affiliate, they will say to them in Colorado Springs, they will say to them, we want this guy playing here. We want this guy playing this many days. We want you to monitor this and we want you to report on this. Right? That's what this league was looking for from the NFL. Oh, you want Christian Hackenberg and he belongs to the, I don't know, Tennessee Titans? Okay, we want to make sure he's learning this and he's working on this. This is why we're sending him to you, right? So that's what they're looking for. That's why this guy dumped in this money. Because if they can get that, if they can get a direct involvement and all they have to do is pay operation costs, then the thing is successful. Because that's what happens in minor league sports is that if you can get the parent company to take care of the costs of the salaries and you only have to run the operation costs and you have to only run the ticket costs, well, that's great because that's a cash business. And if you can get involved in a cash business, that's great. This thing's done already. I mean, I can't believe it. I mean, I really can't believe it. Did anybody foresee how this thing was going to be in 4 or 5 years? Or did you just roll this out and prayed that somebody was going to come in from the NFL and go, thanks, guys, for setting this up. We'll take it from here. Here's all the money you want. Here's all the money you need. Believe me, I've worked in leagues like that, and it doesn't work. It never works.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, celebrating sports movies on this date in 1977, Rocky won the Best Picture. All right, which movie is this, Ron Culver?
Rudy.
Oh, Rudy. Oh, that's right. I totally forgot that crappy movie. That's right.
Yes, but inspirational.
It is inspirational.
5'0", 100-0, playing for the best team in the nation.
He is annoying. He is
Which
the most
one?
Annoying character in movies. If I was that janitor, I would have said, shut up and get to work. I just gave you a free cot. Stop running around the field.
Give you a free room, not just a
exactly.
cot.
Stop annoying me with your dreams of playing Notre Dame. Do you realize I couldn't play for Notre Dame because of real racism? And you're complaining because you're a walk-on and you may not play? God.
No,
like, everybody comes across Rudy loves him. I'm sure there were people who were like, shut up.
Remember with the janitor, he thought it was about race. Well, I guess it was kind of about race.
He claimed it was. He said it was.
But it got him all frustrated, so he wasn't playing.
That's right.
That well.
So, still, Rudy running around acting like he's going to be a Notre Dame hero must have drove people crazy. I did a two-hour radio show with the real Rudy Rudiger back in Las Vegas in my day.
And?
He's a good dude. He's a really good dude. I liked him a lot. His movie stinks, but he's a really good dude. You want to talk about somebody who milked as much money as possible out of one moment in history?
Exactly.
That's Rudy Rudiger.
Well,
I mean, he is.
Which moment in history? The one where he got carried off the field or when the movie came out?
Well, a little bit of both, because I think he still had some popularity.
I was going to say more from when the movie came out.
I still, well, obviously, it was
the movie came out 30 years ago.
Well, he had a pretty good following in the 80s because there was a book and all that other stuff. So he had a pretty good, people kind of knew who he was, but our generation didn't know who he was until the movie came out. So, but he goes around the country. He does motivational speeches and he does all sorts of good stuff.
And that's exactly what we were talking about with Rocky.
Right.
Earlier.
That's exactly what would have happened to Balboa if Rocky IV was a real story.
Yeah, he would have gone around doing speaking tours. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Rudy. He got two plays.
Yeah, I mean, Rudy gets like 20 grand a speech for crying out loud, right?
Two football plays. And he's set for life.
Yeah, I mean,
give me a break.
He's done very, very well for himself. I thought the Sean Austin, I guess, who plays Rudy, did a good job. Yeah, he did a good job in the movie at playing Rudy. But
Mikey.
It's also John Favreau.
John Favreau.
Oh,
Vince
God.
Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn is in it, yeah. Who else is in it? Ned Beatty, right? Plays his dad.
Ned Beatty, yeah.
Plays his dad. No.
And then the janitor. Can't remember his name.
I can't remember his name, but I've seen him in a number of things.
I always refer to him as The Rock because he was in that TV show Rock.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. But I don't know who he is. But yeah, still a good... Yeah, still... still a good story.
If you're looking for a Saturday killer to be inspired and there's no college football on, that's what you watch.
By the way, there's a couple of falsehoods in that movie. They never dropped their jerseys off at the office. That never happened. Joe Montana was on that team. He said that never, ever happened.
He just wasn't there, Tony. That happened.
Yep. He said that didn't happen. And the second thing that didn't happen is in the movie, and he was okay with it because he understood that there needed to be kind of a villain aspect to it. Dan Devine never had a problem with Rudy and wanted to play him. Ara Parseghian left. Dan Devine took over and had no problems giving Rudy a chance to play in his final game. Had no problems with it whatsoever. But in the movie, he acts like how I would have acted to an annoying Rudy Rudiger. I would have been very standoffish and been reluctant to give him any of his dreams. I would have shot him down. You know what? Too bad. You annoyed me, and now your dream isn't going to come true. How's that for karma, little man? Get off my football field. But he said in real life, Dan Devine was fantastic. Absolutely. So it was a fun 2 hours I did with Rudy because we talked like a lot about football and things like that. And he just hung out and we talked about a lot of other things. He was kind of like a co-host, if you will. But every now and then we would just dive into the story. And I just kind of went, man, how cool is that? Like you got the sack and you stayed on the field and you got carried off and the crowd went Rudy. And how awesome is that?
You know what would be really fun is having him and Joe Montana sit down.
And talk
Notre Dame football back yesteryear.
I'd like to find out who else was on that team. Maybe there's some other people that can chime into the Rudy Rudiger legacy. And another thing, too, he was 27 years old at the time that happened, something like that. He was older because he spent time in that factory after high school. He spent a long time. He spent a number of years in the plant before he went, if I'm not going to do it now, I better do it. I'm never going
to
do it.
Getting ready to buy a house.
Yeah. So
then his friend dies and he's like, I got to go chase my dream.
You got to go chase my dream. So he was, he wasn't like an 18-year-old kid arriving on campus.
Walking on straight out of high school.
By the way, what a great sports day today. Not only do we have four games in the NCAA tournament, today is the quasi-opening day of Major League Baseball.
Yes.
With all these teams in action today.
Today's the grand opening because we already had the soft opening.
The soft opening was last week in Tokyo, but now you got the grand opening.
And we already had a player retire before the grand opening.
Oh, that's right. The Yankees will open up the season at home against the Orioles, and then you got a whole slew of games coming up, coming through the rest of the whole west of the night, concluding with the Red Sox playing in Seattle against the Mariners. I love opening day. I used to go to cover baseball on a regular basis. It was my favorite day. I couldn't find parking, which always stunk. Because I would get to the baseball stadium and my media parking, they would already be full. So everybody would be there. But then you'd see the media would start to come in less and less. But it's a really cool day. This is going to be neat. Got a lot number of NBA games with some playoff significance, plus the basketball, plus the baseball. But baseball opening day, it's so different than the other sports, right? I mean, there's something about it that's different. We love NFL kickoff Thursday, but I'll be honest with you, it kind of... College football is already open. We're already getting some football. We're already getting that feeling. So when the NFL opens up its season, yes, it's NFL football, and some of you are more NFL than college, but some of you carry both, right? And college football had already opened the weekend prior to that, so on Labor Day weekend. But baseball brings about everything, right? Here's a sport that's going to get – it's like that initial starting gun for a marathon. Right. This thing is going on until the end of October. All right. So think about it. Think about the late fall. That's when we're going to end this thing. And we're starting today.
Well, that's why we get so upset when all of a sudden we've like said, wait a second. The Mariners and A's have already played. There's already been an opening day.
It's exactly.
Like, we don't even want to count it. If that happened in the NFL, we'd be totally fine.
No, true.
Like,
totally
you guys
true.
Played a game over China. Great. Good for you. It's just, we watched it, of course.
Exactly.
But we kind of feel cheated and slighted. It's like, no, it's opening day. There's a tradition to opening day. They should do is coincide with the first day of spring.
Yeah. Because that's March 31st, right?
March 20th.
March 20th, yeah.
Yeah, it already passed.
So wow, you can't have baseball starting in March 20th.
Well, I know, but that's what it feels like.
But it does. But that's the whole thing about it. It brings in the season, right?
Yeah.
Like football brings in the fall.
No
this brings
snow.
In the spring. But fall, all right, bringing in the fall is the end of something pretty awesome, right? Summer vacation, summertime, vacations with family, et cetera, et cetera. You're going into fall. It's back to school for a lot of people, et cetera. Spring, for a lot of people in America, it's coming out of the doldrums of winter. And that's a big deal. I've told you guys many times, when I was a young kid growing up in the middle of nowhere, New Hampshire, 7 feet of snow outside my house, one of the cool things was always watching the 6 o'clock news. Because, you know, we only had three channels back then and we always watched the news. But the Boston guys would always be in Florida getting ready for Red Sox spring training. And they would be down there and there'd be sunshine and palm trees and golf shirts. And I was thinking any day now we're getting that. Like any day now this stuff is going to melt and we're going to have spring and it's going to be great. And that's the signification of baseball, right? That's what it means when it comes into your life. Baseball is significant because it brings in a season for a lot of people. Look, for most, for a lot of people in the South and the West, whatever, it's just a change the calendar. But man, you grow up with that white stuff on the ground and it's cold and it's icy and that's starting to change and you're starting to see the lawn for the first time in 3 or 4 months and some flowers are starting to peek up. Baseball carries with it that same thing, that same feeling of the day is getting longer, the sun is out, it's getting warmer, off go the winter jackets, no more moon boots, no more gloves, no more snow pants, and baseball is back in flow. And that's the emotion that's attached to this sport for a lot of people. And it really is significant. And that's what I love about it. And listen, I've gone to a lot of opening days in Colorado, especially where the weather was freezing. I mean, freezing. Walking through, I can remember one year walking from my spot in the parking lot to Coors Field. And I only wore a light jacket and I thought I was going to collapse because it might have been 30 degrees outside and I was wearing like a spring coat. And I thought, my God, the wind was just kicking. And I was like, how are they going to play a game? And they played the game. But at the same time that it was freezing as I was walking into Coors Field, I also knew this is what needs to happen in order to get the weather to turn. Baseball, baseball, baseball. Get it back into it. Get back into the groove. But it is also, again, the great thing about this sport has been its quantity. Right? There is now going to be something every day. If you have a favorite baseball team, there is something going on every day from now until end of September. For some of you, end of October. Like you're a Dodgers fan. I think the Dodgers make the playoffs again. You have Dodger baseball now in your life now until mid-October, late October.
It's time.
It's great. It's absolutely great.
Except for what? 4 days. 2 days leading into the All-Star break and two days after.
Exactly. Then it's kind of, take a break.
Well, that's when we always have that one day. During that time, we have one day where there's literally no sports going on.
What do we do now? Right, always good to take a vacation if you're in sports media. That's the week you take.
That's the week.
Right? That's the week you take. All right. So anyway, Major League Baseball, a lot of teams, pretty much everybody's going on. And then we're off and running. I am paying attention to Aaron Judge. I'm really interested in his season this year. One day I think he's going to get 60 home runs.
Yeah, but do you think
I don't think he's going to get 65 or 67, but I think one day he's going to flirt with that 60.
Do you think there's danger of him falling into the Ryan Howard trap?
Yeah, I do.
Where, you know, all he is just a home run hitter.
Yep.
Ryan Howard, I mean, had a couple really fantastic years, but also led the league in strikeouts.
Yep, I agree. He can do that.
I just have a feeling that that's where he might be going. I don't know.
I took my son to his first Yankee game about a couple of years ago, and we were in New York, and it was a really hot day. It was in August, and it was a blistering day. My wife got me tickets for my birthday, and we took the train in, which wasn't the best way to get to Yankee. For us, it was the best way to get to Yankee Stadium. But as the train, we took the 4 train from south of Manhattan all the way up to the Bronx, and as you get closer and closer, Yankee fans start pouring into the subway and drop you off and you go into the game. And I remember it was boiling hot. And Aaron Judge was making his major league debut. And in his first at bat, he hit a home run. And I remember talking to some guys, you know, kind of talking about him and, you know, guys who knew more about the team than I did. And really, you know, they were excited for that. I hadn't heard of Aaron Judge until that second that he stepped up to the plate. But, you know, the guys around me had followed the Yankees really close and they knew about him and they heard about him and they were ready. They were genuinely excited for his at bat and he didn't disappoint in hitting a home run. And I remember telling my son, I said, oh, you'll never forget that. Aaron Judge could be the all-time home run leader someday. You never know what this kid could do. And you were there for his very first home run. And here in 2019, I don't think he knows that. I don't think my son remembers that at all. I don't think he thinks back and goes, wasn't there a guy who hit a home run in his first at bat?
Yeah, just keep reminding him that he'll
and
never
I'm like,
forget
that
it.
Was Aaron Judge. And he's, oh yeah, that's right. And me, I'm like, oh my God, I like saved the ticket stub and everything. I'm, you know, but he's like, we'll see. So I hope baseball's not lost on him because it's a really good sport. All right, 800-777-2907 is the telephone number. It's SB Nation AM. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio and at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's on SB Nation Radio.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Chariots of Fire, as we celebrate sports movies.
Yeah, we need to do this segment in slow-mo, though.
It is 1984, I think, Chariots of Fire. I never saw this movie, by the way.
Neither did I. I think this is one where the song is more famous than the movie.
Yeah, it's about an Olympic runner. I don't know anything else about it. I didn't see it. I was too young to care. I heard it was really good. It won an Academy Award.
At some point, they run on a beach barefoot.
That's right. That's it. That's all I know. But people tell me it was awesome, so I'll take your word for it.
Maybe, you know, put it on the bucket list to watch.
Yeah. On this date in 1977, Rocky won the Best Picture. So we're celebrating sports movies on Throwback Thursday. So is there a... Sylvester Stallone. I was watching a movie last night with Sylvester Stallone in it called Copland.
Okay.
And it was pretty good. Have you seen that one?
Is that the one where... No.
They had like a lot of stars in it. Like Robert De Niro was in it. Michael Rapaport was in it. Ray Liotta. Harvey Keitel. A couple of other people that are famous, but famous because they're in a lot of movies, not necessarily famous because of name.
Right. Yep.
Right? I mean, Janine Garofalo was in it. I mean, it was a whole bunch of stars were in that movie. And I only caught it, and I caught some of it. It makes me want to watch it. I had never seen it before, but I saw enough of it to go, that's interesting. I might catch that later. So I might go watch it on demand. But Sly Stallone wrote the screenplay for Rocky.
Yep.
And became won Best Picture. So that was just on the other day, like on AMC.
Well, yesterday, I mean, it's so funny. Yesterday I was watching Rocky IV.
Oh, really?
I was just flipping through the channels, couldn't find anything to watch. Rocky IV is there. I'm like, you know what? Yeah. Why not?
Bridget Nielsen was terrible in that movie, wasn't she? As the like girlfriend or wife of Drago?
You know what?
We're very, very good and you think we're very, very bad. You're so very, very good and we're so very, very bad.
So she can't do a Russian accent.
No, she can't.
We figured that out. But she was really the first person I saw was a woman with short hair that I was like, okay, you know what? That can be attractive.
Yeah, exactly. No,
you
no
know,
doubt.
The buzz cut look.
No doubt. Yeah.
But yeah. That
we were so used to 80s hair back in the day.
Exactly.
You know? Like, what was that girl from Facts of Life? Lisa Welchel, who her name was. She had that big 80s
Blair.
Hair. Blair. Yeah. I mean, name your 80s starlet. They usually had big 80s hair. And then Bridget Nielsen came on and had the short hair and was actually good looking out of it. All right, so celebrating Rocky on Throwback Thursday. Coming up, more of the NCAA tournament and also something that has gone on in this state, especially in college basketball.